Would you please turn in your Bibles to the 92nd chapter of the Psalms, Psalm number 92, and how important it is that you bring your Bibles with you to church, and not only bring them with you, but open them up and follow along as we endeavor to teach the Word of God. I have some opinions today, but they're not worth any more than your opinions. And I could tell you what I think about this and think about the other, and you might like it or you might not like it. But when I say open up your Bibles, that means I'm pointing you to the Word of God. And you can rely on God's Word as the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Get familiar with the Scripture. I was speaking with one of our members just before the service began, and she was looking at her Bible. And that's always refreshing to me. When our members begin to look at the Bible and study the Bible, this particular lady, not the one I was speaking with, some years ago had made a habit of memorizing Scripture every day, and she memorized it so perfectly and so beautifully, and then she had an accident in life that rendered her in a state of amnesia. She did not know who she was. She did not know where she came from. She knew nothing about the past or even nothing of the future. But it was remarkable when they gave her a test. She, without making a mistake, could quote Scripture. She could quote the Word of God. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." There may come a time when it'll be against the law to have a Bible. There may come a time when there will be a law against carrying a copy of God's Word. So if you can hide it in your heart, you'll be miles ahead. They can take it from the page, but they can't take it from your heart. All right. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 15. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery and upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. That's why you need to study the Bible. You're not looking at one of Aesop's fables when you study the Bible. You're studying some deep, deep things, deep water you're going to go through studying the Scripture. A brutish man, verse 6, knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. In the very opening statement of this passage of Scripture, it gives us our text and our subject this morning. It says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And I want to speak to you on the subject of the beauty of praise. The beauty of praise. It's a beautiful thing to praise the Lord. It is a very ugly and obnoxious thing when we complain against God. and find fault with God because things are not working as we would like for them to work. You'll find this word praise over 200 times in the Psalms alone. It's to be found hundreds of times throughout the Word of God. One might say that the Bible is saturated with praise for our God. For instance, look at Psalm 150, just a few pages over in your Bible, to Psalm 150. And it happens to be the last psalm in the Scripture, Psalm 150. It begins with the word, praise ye the Lord. Matter of fact, that little word praise is used about 13 times in the 150th Psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon loud cymbals. Praise Him upon high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And this 150th Psalm is preceded by Psalm 146 that says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. Ponder those words, church. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. We would call that in East Texas, while I have any brains or while I have any sense left, I'm going to use it to praise the Lord. You also find Psalm 147 opening up with it. Praise ye the Lord. It's a good thing to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant. Praise is comely. You find it in Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all ye angels. Praise you Him, all you hosts. Praise you Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heaven of heavens. You find it in Psalm 149. It begins, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of His saints. And then it runs right into Psalm 150 over and over again. Praise ye the Lord. Throughout the Bible, there is much praise going on. Now, I know when we look out today and when we observe current events in the hour in which we live, we don't see a whole lot of praise, but it's still there nonetheless. You take, for instance, and you need not turn to this, you can jot the reference down. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, there are four living creatures that have one particular single assignment from God Almighty. And their assignment is not to build worlds and enlarge space, but it is to praise the Lord. And these words are said of these four living creatures. They say continually, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You will recall that Paul and Silas praised God in a jail cell in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. The world hears you when you praise, and the world hears you when you complain. There's always somebody listening to what you have to say. God inhabits the lives of the midst of His people. It says in Psalm 22, verse 3, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. A habitation is where you live. God lives in the midst, in the middle of the praise of His people. Job praised God in the hour of his grief. He said in Job 1:21, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The angels in glory constantly praise God. In Job 38:7, when the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. And then in Psalm 100:4, praise is the call to worship in every church service. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. We need to be inoculated heavily with the subject of praising God. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to give praise unto the Lord. Children, it's a good thing to give praise unto the Lord. Teenagers, it's a good thing to give praise unto the Lord. Moms and dads, adults, it's a good thing to give praise unto the Lord. In Psalm number 92, the one we've just read for your hearing, it is a psalm which God's people are exhorted to praise. Notice there's a little small explanation in real tiny letters. Some Bible translations don't carry this, and some Bible companies don't put it in their Bibles, but the King James usually has it. It says this is a psalm or a song, S-O-N-G, for the Sabbath day. According to the Talmud. Now, what's the Talmud? The Talmud is the Jewish commentary on the Old Testament. It's called the Talmud. It says that the Levites sang these psalms in their sanctuary. When they would assemble to worship God, they would do so by singing these psalms. On the first day, they sang Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." On the second day, they sang Psalm 48, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." On the third day, they sang Psalm 82, "God standeth in the congregation of the mighty." On the fourth day, they sang Psalm 104, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." On the fifth day, they sang Psalm 81, "Sing aloud unto God our strength." On the sixth day, Psalm 93, "The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty." And then that brought them to the seventh day, which is called the Sabbath day, and they sang the 92nd Psalm. It is a good thing to give praise unto the Lord. Now, my outline is relatively simple because I'm a simple preacher, and I would like to give it to you. Number one, how should we praise our God? How should we praise God? Verses 1-3. Number two, why should we praise our God? Verses 4-14. And number three, what will our praise result in? Verse number 15. Why should we praise, or how should we praise our God? We're told what to do. It's a good thing to give praise unto the Lord. How are we to do that? How do we praise the Lord? Well, we praise him with thankfulness. With thankfulness. Gratitude is a requirement for praise. The scripture begins, "Give thanks unto the Lord." Give thanks unto the Lord. This is why you'll never find a complainer praising the Lord. He's too busy feeling sorry for himself and wanting to tell everybody about his own problems and about his own troubles. He doesn't have time to praise the Lord. We're to praise him with thankfulness. When one begins to count his blessings, he'll begin to praise the Lord. I do not know what you're having to face today. I know a little bit about what I have to face today. Some of it I don't particularly like. I'm not particularly fond of it. And God didn't give me a vote on it. All right? But I tell you what, dear friends, you have more to be thankful for today than you have to complain about today. God has been so good to you. And oh, that you might be able to see that. Some people go around with a complex like God's trying to get even with them and push them over a cliff or make things worse than they are having to understand and face. But I tell you, God's been so good to you. You have a loving wife. You have a loving husband. You have loving kids. You have friends. You have a church you go to. You got a job, provide living for your family. You've got health in order to be in God's house on Sunday. That's a blessing from the Lord. And that's one reason how we should praise the Lord with thankfulness. With thankfulness. Number two, with humility. With humility. Notice it is directed to the O Most High. That's what the Scripture says. The O Most High. With humility. This term refers to the High King of Glory. And there is a High King of Glory, and that one is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is absolutely everything, and we are absolutely nothing apart from Him. We're to bow before Him in humble adoration and praise the High King of Heaven. We're to praise Him with acknowledgement. We need to acknowledge it. For too long, God's people have said, well, I feel, God knows my heart. He knows I'm thankful to Him. Why don't you say it? And why don't you look in the mirror when you say it? Some of us say it so seldom. We praise by showing forth God's attributes, making acknowledgement of who this God is. Thy loving kindness, Thy faithfulness. Those two items are attributes of the God who saved us. Loving kindness, faithfulness. God is to be praised when we acknowledge His attributes, which are many. May I mention a few quickly? His sovereignty is to be praised. God's sovereignty is to be praised because He rules by His sovereignty. Now, I'm here to tell you that God rules in the affairs of men, saved and unsaved alike. And God not only knows, but He's able to administrate properly everything that goes on since the day He made it all. He is a sovereign God. You're not looking at somebody that is, He's a pretty good God. No, He's the only God there is. And He's absolutely sovereign. We're to praise His sovereign. We're to praise His immutability. Boy, that's a 50-cent word, isn't it? Immutability means that He doesn't change. He's to be praised for that. He never changes. He's to be praised for His omniscience. His omniscience being He knows everything. And you don't have to tell God anything. He already knows it. There's nothing He has to learn. We're to praise Him for His grace and for His mercy. We're to praise Him for His justice. He always does the right thing. He always does and makes the right decision. We're to praise Him continually. How are we to praise the Lord? Continually. With perseverance. The Scripture says every morning and every night. Now, I'll bound you this. Generally speaking, night praising is a whole lot easier than morning praising. Have you ever woke up in the morning and you just thought it dawned on you, this is the worst, best I'm going to feel the rest of the day? I mean, this is it. It's kind of hard to praise the Lord in that environment, isn't it? And yet we praise Him every morning and every night, not just when we come to church. Now, it's pretty easy to praise the Lord when the person sitting beside you, they're praising the Lord. And it's a little contagious, and these folk over here, and they're praising the Lord. Well, we cannot be judged by that. We praise Him every morning and every night, not just when we win the lottery. If that ever happens to you, A lady experienced that this week. I think she's 52, 53 years old. And when they told her she had won $738 million, she became a 20-year-old teenager. She was a nurse, and she called her boss and said, "Guess what? I won't be at work in the morning." So, well, boy, didn't she have a lot to be thankful for? She had a lot to be thankful for before she ever made the first dime. God is so good. Every morning, every night. Matthew 5:11 says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." You can rejoice. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. The Apostle Paul wrote this while he was in jail, while he was incarcerated. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Like you didn't get the first time I said it, I'm going to say it again. "Again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." Now that's an old English expression, but in East Texas language it simply means this: don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We're to praise Him continually, continually. We're to praise Him with music, singing, music. We're to praise the Lord. Why is that so? Notice again in chapter 92 of Psalm, verse 3, "Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, and upon the harp with a solemn sound." Praise by singing with music. Some churches do not believe in instrumental music in their services. Yet I would say that it is encouraged in the Old Testament, musical instruments, and it is not prohibited anywhere in the New Testament. I'm glad we have musical instruments in our church. I love musical instruments. My dad was a pianist, and I've told you this before movies came out with any sound. My dad worked for the movie theater, and he sat on a piano and played the music to correspond with what was happening on the screen. I was brought up musically. My mother was a musician. My brother was a musician. He blew a trumpet. And right on down through our family, it's been heavy emphasis on music. And I love music in the church, and I like instrumental music. I love the right kind of instrumental music. And I think many of these instruments were made for the purpose of praising the Lord and not just entertaining the crowds. Musically. Mr. Spurgeon said, "Music, singing is the music of nature." Whenever Spurgeon speaks, we need to listen to him. He always had something to say. "Singing is the music of nature. The mountains sing," Psalm 44:23. "The valleys sing," Psalm 65:13. "The trees in the woods sing," 1 Chronicles 16:33. And then he says, "The air is the birds' music room where they chant their musical notes." The very air is the place as a music room where they chant their musical notes. Do you ever wonder who taught the birds how to sing? They do know how to sing. Yes. And they do that quite frequently. And we're to do it, watch this one, with a solemn sound. Every word in your Bible is very, very important. And this little word, solemn, comes from a Hebrew word, hagion, which means majestic, provoking meditation. That whenever we sing a song in our churches, it is to be a majestic song, and it is to provoke meditation. to give you something to think about while you are singing. It is music to cause us to think, not to pat the foot and feel. Now, there's nothing wrong with patting the foot unless you got something wrong with one of your feet. You will find your pastor sometimes gets carried away because I'll pat my foot on the platform. I don't mind patting my foot. But the purpose of music is not to pat the foot. It's not to make you feel. It's to make you think. Think about what? About majestic things about the Lord and the things that speak of Christ. And the things that speak of the Bible, the good things, the holy things, the majestic things. It's not just the waving of the hands. It's not just the swaying of the body. It is more deeply involved than that. It's speaking to your soul when you sing. Meditation. Meditation. That's how we should praise the Lord. Number two, why should we praise our God? We start with verse 4, it goes down to verse 14. We'll not be able to cover it, but we want to just quickly offer you some things. Why should we praise our God? Because of His mighty works. Look at verses 4 and 5. For Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. I will triumph in the works of Thy hands. O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. It speaks of the mighty works of God. For Thou, because of You, Lord, because of You, that's the reason I am praising. Speaking of God's creative works. He hath made me glad in His mighty works. I will triumph through His mighty works. I will praise the Lord. Think about His work of creation. His work of creation. Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. When I consider the heavens, the work of Thy fingers. It's a very colorful meaning of the Hebrew word having to do with embroidery. God, when He created the heavens, He used His fingers to embroider the stars and embed it into a blue blanket of beauty in the heavens above. When I consider that, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? Why should God even give us the time of day? And yet He does. And we should praise Him for that. For His work of creation. For His work of providence. His work of providence, perhaps the greatest scripture in the New Testament, is Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. Now, I want to give you a word of warning. That is so much easier to quote than it is to practice. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord. As I was preparing this message, I want to share this with you on praising the Lord. All things, praise Him for all things, praise Him for all things. My Quiznet, my dear brother, who not too long ago went to be with the Lord, one of the last sermons he preached, and he wrote a little booklet about praising the Lord. He said, Brother Cozart, we ought to praise God for everything He does. Within a week, he was dead. But he died praising the Lord. As I was preparing this message today, I talked to the Lord. As you would talk to the Lord, we pray, we talk to God. And God often talks to us. Not in an audible voice, but sometimes when you think about it, just talking to God and speaking with God as person to person Sometimes it's almost you can verbalize what God is saying to you. I said, Lord, I know this material. And I've preached it so many, many times over the course of years. I know about the praising. And it was as though God said to me, 10 days ago, I know you know it with your head, but you need to know it with your heart. And the only way you can know it with your heart is we're going to take you through some things. And for the last 10 days, I've been going downhill. It's easy to say, oh, I really believe all things work together for good. I could tell you one particular thing I have trouble with charging it and say, God, I don't know whether that's good or not. Huh? Have you ever been there before? But whether you believe it or not, it's so. That everything that happens to the believer will always happen for his good and for God's eternal glory. And God's people ought to say amen to that. Amen. His work of providence. His work of redemption. Hanging on the cross, he made several statements. One, a very brief statement, was, it is finished. It is finished. Aren't you glad he did not hand us an incomplete redemption to finish? Aren't you glad he did not give us a partially finished redemption and saying to us, all right, I've done what I'm going to do. I give it to you. You got to handle the rest of it if you're ever saved. I'm glad that salvation is a finished product and Christ did it all. It is ours for the receiving by faith. The work of redemption. His work of resurrection. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Some have been associated with burials and with death and with graves and this type of thing. Rather recently, loved ones are taken, those members of our family, from time to time. But I'm so glad to know that in Jesus Christ, that's not finality. That's not end of anything. That's just the beginning of the most glorious thing that you can imagine. That when a loved one who knows the Lord dies, they go to be with the Lord. And they'll never have to suffer anymore. And they'll never be separated from Him anymore. And not only that, but there's a glorious fact about the glory of His work. In John 14, 1 through 3, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Could I say also that we should praise Him because of His justice and His vengeance? He is a God of justice, yes. He's a God of vengeance. In verses 6 through 9, there are two kinds of men who refuse to praise the Lord, and yet they're going to be judged by Him. In verses 6 through 9, what does it say? A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, and it seems like they're flourishing quite much today, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. You have, first of all, the insensitive man mentioned here, the brutish man. He's described as being brutish and foolish. In verse number 6, his education, his skills, they have forced God out of the picture. He looks to psychology. He looks to good luck. He looks to fate. He looks to humanism. He will praise man, but he'll never praise God. This recent hurricane that struck the coast of Texas, if I heard it one time, I heard it a dozen times. Mother Nature was the cause of it. Well, let me ask you a question. Where did Mama come from? There would be no Mama Nature were it not for the fact that God created nature. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof. You cannot know where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. And Jesus Christ said to that wind, stop blowing, peace be still. And the wind and the waves did what He said. That's a reason for praying Him, praising Him, because of His justice. Albert Einstein was a great mind, to be sure, insensitive to God and the Bible. Once asked if he believed in God, Mr. Einstein, do you believe in God? Here was his answer. I believe in a God who reveals Himself in the orderly harmony of all that exists, but not in the God that concerns Himself with the fate and actions of human beings. In other words, Albert Einstein did not believe in God. Did not. Not only the brutish man, but the iniquitous man in verse number 7, described as the wicked. God poured out His justice in Noah's day. Brother Johnson was talking about his Sunday school class and how he's been dealing with the covenants in the Bible. And he's been dealing also especially with the covenant that God made with Noah and this rainbow that God hung in the air. That actually happened, folks. That's not just a fairy tale. That's just not for good listening and a good story to tell. No, that actually took place on this earth. And every human being, apart from the eight safely in the ark, were destroyed by God Almighty in the flood. Can you praise Him for that? Oh, well, I don't think you ought to praise. Why not? He did it, and everything He does is right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then we praise Him because of His grace. Verses 10 through 14. David says, my horn shall be exalted. Many times that little word horn is used in connotation with the exalted position of a ruler. The horn. You take a unicorn, even though it's a figmented process of an animal, it's horn that other animals are afraid of. Probably an ox, probably a buffalo. But it represented an animal that could not be defeated. It could be knocked down, but it could not be defeated. And that's what the believer has in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His grace, my horn shall be exalted. My enemies shall be defeated. Read it for yourself in verse number 11. And then my life shall be as trees. Look at verse number 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Believers are likened unto two particular kind of trees here. One is a palm tree. It is an evergreen, with all vegetation perishing around it from the heat, the palm tree remains green. It stands tall, and it is fruitful. By the way, David spoke about it in Psalm 1, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Not only are we like the palm tree, but we're like the cedar. It too is an evergreen. Some of the cedars of Lebanon, which stood in the 1500s, we're told, are still in existence and standing today. They remain undaunted. Another reason is, I will be planted in the house of the Lord. Verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. What a motive to praise. You are familiar with the 23rd Psalm where David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That ought to get a holy grunt out of somebody, don't you think so? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And then I will live in a land where I will never grow useless. Look at verse 14. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Instead of becoming incapacitated and failing away, we get stronger and stronger and stronger in the Lord. I want to repeat the statement. I will live in a land where I will never grow useless. I have been asked so many times. It's thought-provoking. It's one of those questions when it's asked so many times, you can't ignore it. Preacher, when are you going to retire? Huh? I always say, well, I tell you what, you tell me where it says that in the Bible and we'll talk about it. Did you know retirement's not in the Bible? Some of the sweetest stories had to do with the patriarchs. David? Yes, but especially Jacob. Jacob, when he knew he was sick and he knew he wasn't going to be around long, you know, he called all of his sons to his bedside. And he began to tell them what their life was going to be like. And it says, as was said also of Isaac, he gathered up his feet in the bed and died. He didn't get to retire. Isn't that a terrible thing? He just kept going. You remember when God said, Moses, you can't go into the promised land because of so-and-so and so-and-so. But yet Moses was 120 years old and his natural faith had not been evaded. He was still strong and still going and went till God buried him and told no man where he put him. What am I saying? I'm saying today that every last one of us, and I'm speaking to a special strata of my congregation. I'm not speaking to young people because, let's just face it, young people never die. They live forever. I'm speaking to that bunch who've been here long enough to know, honey, you ain't long for this world. And every day you're reminded of it. You're not able to lift what you used to lift. You're not able to walk the way you used to walk. You're not able to do what you used to do. And when you look into the mirror, it's the most discouraging thing you've ever seen in all of your life. And you go to the cosmetologist and you say, will you do something for me? And all they do is laugh. I will live in a land where I'll never grow useless. Always in His presence, day unto day throughout eternity, praising Him and thanking Him. One final thought and I close. Verse 15. What will our praise result in? Whenever we live in a constant state of praise and thanksgiving, there will be no gripes. There will be no complaints. And we will bring no false charges against God. God, if you'd done so and so, this would never have happened. And I don't think you made the right decision. We don't level charges against the God who made us. We will show that God is always right. And dear ones, He is. Whatever you have to face, God is always right. Number two, we will show that God is our rock. He is our stabilizer. And number three, we will show that our God is worthy to be praised. So, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Let's leave a thankful people today. Let's stand, please, for prayer.